Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive as we talk both local and national sports. It is Tuesday. We call it Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. So a big emphasis on everything that went down yesterday, Sunday, what we have coming up tonight, and what's happening on Thursday. We got a huge game Thursday here on KOAL. It'll be a rematch of Super Bowl 53 as the Rams and the Patriots go toe-to-toe. It's a monumental game. New England basically has to have this game to remain in playoff contention. The Rams, on the other hand, they're in first place now with the NFC West. They've been up, they've been down, so we'll talk about that game. We'll talk about the idea that the Patriots are 6-6 and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 7-5. Come on, that makes me chuckle. I know if you're a Patriot fan, it makes you chuckle. If you're a Buccaneer fan, it does not make you chuckle. But we will get into that a little bit later on in the show. And we'll also talk about the NFC East. Look, the Redskins knock off the Steelers yesterday, the final unbeaten team, now with a loss. And the Giants defeated the Seahawks this past Sunday. I know both teams still have a losing record at 5-7, but is it time to start taking the NFC East a little bit more serious? I say yes. I think there's a tremendous front seven in New York. I think there's an outstanding front four in Washington. They have their quarterback in Alex Smith, who is finding his groove. And let's be real, when this guy is on his game, he's one of the better game managers, and you can take that as an insult if you want, but he's one of the better game managers in the league today. So we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. I do want to dive into college football right now, and we'll start by talking about Ohio State and the Big Ten. This should be no surprise, but the game between Ohio State and Michigan has been called off due to COVID-19 cases within the Michigan football program. This decision was made after conversations regarding medical experts, the health department officials, and even university administration. We wondered if this would be the case. Remember, Kirk Herbstreit said that he thought, and he apologized for his comments, but he basically said that he thought that Michigan would dodge Ohio State. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but Michigan canceled this game against Maryland on December 5th. They paused all team activities. The program was cleared for limited workouts on Monday, and they actually held those workouts. But then the administration decided to cancel the game due to the increase of cases and the number of student athletes in quarantine over the past week. That's the reason why this didn't happen. Michigan says it will continue daily testing with the hopes of getting back on the practice field when cleared by medical officials. Here's the big issue. The cancellation of this game on Saturday puts Ohio State at 5 games played this season. The Big Ten Conference said that you would need to play at least 6 to get to the conference championship. Indiana, who was in second place and lost to Ohio State, hits that threshold. That means that the Big Ten would not be able to send Ohio State to the conference title game. I mean, the rule simply states teams must play in 6 games to qualify for the championship unless the average number of games throughout the conference falls below 6. That is not the case. And so then, if you're the Big Ten, you have to ask yourself this question. How would this affect the College Football Playoff Committee's decision to bring Ohio State to the playoffs? I don't know if it would affect it drastically, but I think you have to be fair with the situation. And it seemed like a foregone conclusion that no Pac-12 team would be eligible for the College Football Playoff just because, what, they're going to play 5 games? You're going to put a team in the playoffs after playing 5 games? And so I don't believe that anyone in the Pac-12 was ever seriously considered to be a contender for one of the Final Four spots. If that is the case, and we know that's the case, Ohio State and the Big Ten, well, I guess this is the way I should put this. Does the Big Ten change its guidelines? And there was a statement made by the commissioner today saying that they will continue to remain transparent. Quote, we will work through these issues. We'll need to remain fluid and remain nimble during these times. This has never happened before. I believe the Big Ten will alter their initial rules of having to play six games to get to the conference championship. Now, I can look at this two different ways. You can say that's not right, because at the beginning of the season, the rules stated you had to play six games. It's still possible that Ohio State can get to six games, because if there is another cancellation this weekend, Ohio State could rearrange and play a game. If Purdue, who canceled practice today, had to cancel their game against Indiana, Indiana and Ohio State could play again. I don't know that Ohio State would want to do that, but it's possible. And if that's what happens, then Ohio State could win that game. They would be eligible for the Big Ten championship. Otherwise, Indiana would move on to play Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. So you can look at it and say, would it be fair to Indiana that Ohio State gets in if they only play five games, if the Big Ten decides to maneuver things around? Well, look, Indiana lost to Ohio State. Okay, the Big Ten needs to send its best team to the conference championship, its two best teams. And we know that Ohio State is the best team of the Big Ten. We know this. And we could have a serious conversation with one another. You know it, I know it. It's the best team of the Big Ten. Have they earned the right? They've played five games. We know they're the best team. I buy that. I can buy that logic. So if the Big Ten was to maneuver things around, I could buy it. Also, it wouldn't quite be fair to Indiana, though, would it? Because everybody is dealing with COVID restrictions. Everyone is dealing with these guidelines. Yet, Indiana found a way to get their six-game threshold in. I can buy that. I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. I have a feeling I know which direction this is going to go. I believe that Ohio State will, in fact, play for the Big Ten championship. And if you want the kids to decide it on the field, it was decided on the field. Ohio State beat Indiana. They already beat them. Now, if Ohio State and Indiana didn't play, yeah, I think you could cry foul. But I don't believe there's any question that they are the best team from that specific division. And after beating Indiana, they have earned the right. Should they have to beat Indiana again twice? Well, look, if that's the case, that's the case. They have to play again to get to that six-game threshold. I have no problem with it. And if Ohio State beats them again, then they get in. If they don't, Big Ten can figure out how they want to do it, which I believe Ohio State would still go, because they would be ranked higher. I believe that's the tiebreaker of the Big Ten. But boy, what a mess. What a mess. I think ultimately we see Ohio State and Northwestern in the Big Ten championship. Some other news coming out of the NFL. We talked about this last week on Football Tuesday. The Philadelphia Eagles have benched Carson Wentz. The new starting quarterback is Jalen Hurts. Should not be a big surprise. The only thing that stings here, if you're a Philadelphia Eagle fan, is the fact that that Carson Wentz extension has not even kicked in yet. Philadelphia has a mess on their hands right now, and I do believe eventually Doug Peterson will be shown the door. Although, look, it's sound logic to draft a quarterback and develop him during the course of a new contract for your remaining quarterback, right, for your current quarterback. Because I believe there's an out in that Carson Wentz contract after year two. So you may have to eat a year or two of that deal, but you could get out of it. And Jalen Hurts, I don't know, I haven't seen enough of Jalen Hurts in the NFL. Saw plenty of him in college. Haven't seen enough of him in the NFL. That's some news coming out of the national sports front. We are going to take a quick commercial break. It's Football Tuesday. We'll talk NFC East, and we'll continue to go down the list. We'll talk Patriots, Buccaneers, and this big game coming up on Thursday right here on Drive Time Sports.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school swimming. Today, the Carbon Dinos will return to the swimming pool as they welcome in two schools for their first home meet of the season. Garbin returned to the pool last week as the Lady Dinos once again had a dynamic showing, picking up a victory. But after a two-week hiatus, Garbin will now finally get to participate at home. Today's home meet will take place against Uinta, and it's the first of two, the second coming on the road on Thursday as the team will travel to Gunnison. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will bring you the results from today's meet as they become available. Now we continue on with high school sports, and a brand new week will begin for the Carbon Lady Dinos as they begin a five-game homestand this evening against North St. Pete. The Carbon Lady Dinos have raced out to a 3-0 start after dominating at the Shannon Johnson Tournament this past weekend. Wins over South Summit, Uinta, and Wasatch Academy gave Carbon a 3-0 start. The Lady Dinos again will now play five consecutive games at home, starting tonight with tip-off set for 7 o'clock against North St. Pete. On Friday, the team will take on Desert Hills. This will be a home contest beginning at 5:30. There will be a doubleheader with the boys following. And then on Monday, it's home against Grantsville. Next Tuesday, home against South Summit. And next Saturday, home against Mountain Crest. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will continue to bring you updates regarding the Garbin Lady Dino basketball team as they make their way through their non-region schedule, which will continue throughout the remainder of December and into early January before opening up region play at South Sevier on January 7th. We continue on with high school sports, but we move to the 1A classification. And this past weekend, the Pinnacle Panther girls basketball team participated in a 1A preview, playing two games in 2 days, beginning Thursday and moving through Friday. The Lady Panthers suffered a 56-12 loss to Bryce Valley on Thursday, and they followed that up with a 49-16 setback against Escalante. The team now will prepare for a road contest next week as they travel on the road to take on Milford. The Green River girls basketball team opened up the season this past weekend, also with a 1A preview. After suffering a 32-28 loss to Paiute, they answered back with a 42-31 victory over Panguitch. This game took place on Thursday afternoon. Green River led 10-7 at the end of the first quarter, but found themselves facing a two-point deficit at halftime. Green River then shut out Panguitch in the third quarter, scoring 9 points to take the lead for good. In the victory, the Green River Lady Pirates were led by Taylan Lovato, who scored 16 points. Abigail Irwin added 13. Green River then closed out the weekend with a 47-25 loss at the hands of Valley. They will return to the court tomorrow to take on Tabiona. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
So now you open my eyes.
Here comes the quarterback, Burrow, looking for a block, and he got it up on the front by Hopkins into the end zone. Touchdown!
I feel like I'm gonna lose my way.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. It's Football Tuesday here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Let's talk about the NFC East, particularly the New York Giants. And Vinny, there's been so many jokes about the NFC East, and I went into this a little bit yesterday, but now we can expand on it. For a while, it was awful football. We could agree on that. We would look at the records.
Yeah, it was
terrible. Yeah. Historically, it was one of the worst divisions we've ever seen in the NFL. But now that we are down to the final 4 weeks of the season, we have to be a realist here. Okay, Sunday's game, we saw the New York Giants win with Colt McCoy at quarterback.
And no Saquon Barkley.
No Saquon Barkley. On the road at CenturyLink.
That's a tough place. Weather, there's a tough place to play.
Against Russell Wilson, one of the best quarterbacks in the world. They went on the road, they got a win. They're 5-7. Sometimes in the NFL, I shouldn't say sometimes, and I shouldn't just narrow this to the NFL. In sports, we become prisoners of the moment. We look at hyperbole, right? We live by hyperbole. Everything is the latest and greatest or the worst. When you look at the New York Giants at 5-7, the only way they can get into the playoffs is if they win the division. We understand that. It's the same thing with the Redskins or with the Washington football team. Yeah. It's the same thing. But let me throw this out there to you, and you can tell me if I'm completely wrong. When you look at the front seven for New York, you look at the front seven for Washington in a one-game playoff.
That's tough.
It's not a gimme.
No, it's not a gimme. There's some good players there. And
Washington, they have a veteran quarterback who's getting healthy and getting a rhythm. Then, you know, Daniel Jones is going to come back. Hey, if, you know, he don't fumble the ball or have a couple bad breaks, a couple things, maybe they're 7-5.
Yeah, it's,
with Saquon
it's
Barkley,
it's
the way
possible.
That defense is playing, they probably are 7-5.
Yeah, because if you look at what they have, and we'll stick with the Giants here for a moment. I mean, you look at Dexter Lawrence, Devin Tomlinson, or Leonard Williams.
Leonard Williams.
And at the time, the trade with the Jets for Leonard Williams was kind of a head-scratcher, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was a head-scratcher. Then you look at what they have in the middle of the field with Trent Harris and David Mayo. This is a pretty legitimate front seven. And I brought this point up yesterday, and we'll go back and take a look at the numbers. Points allowed through 12 weeks. By the time you hit week 12, you pretty much know the statistics. Look, a statistic is an average,
right,
over the course of a long period of time. 2-3 weeks into the season, whatever. 12 weeks into the season, it matters.
It shows you.
It shows you.
You know something.
And when you look at points allowed, I'm going to give you the teams that have allowed more points than the New York Giants. Are you aware of this stat, or is this all news to you?
No, I knew the defense was solid, and I know they were playing tough games. So
let me kick this to you. The Packers have allowed more points than the Giants. The Vikings have allowed a lot more points than the Giants.
And that's Mike Zimmer.
329 to 265. It's not even close. The Bears have allowed more points. And I know the Bears have kind of fallen off losing their last six, but it's a team with a defensive identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you go to the South. The Buccaneers have given up more points. You go to the West. There's only one team in the NFC West that has not given up more points. I take that back. Two teams in the NFC West that have not given up more points than the Giants. That's the Rams and the Niners. Only one of those teams are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah. The Rams, yeah.
This Giants defense
is legit.
It is legit. And when you
and they're not getting, you know, I know the schedule is a little weak. Some people are going to say, well, the NFC East is weak. That's true. But they're missing their best offensive player, and they're not getting a ton of offensive help either.
No, they're not.
So these are close games.
No, because if you look, again, you bring up offensive help, they have scored the least amount of points of anybody in the NFC. And I believe second is Washington. Okay. One of these two teams is going to get in. It's not going to be Philly. It's not going to be the Cowboys. It's got to be the Giants or Washington. It's got to be one of those two teams. But how do you win football games in the playoffs?
You play great defense, great special teams, and you don't turn it over.
And if that happens, I'm just saying that we saw...
They're game.
Yeah,
for all the jokes, you know, you're right. You make a great point. For all the jokes and all the NFC East and being hammered on, they're going to be game. They're going to be a game.
It's not a walkover.
No, they're going to be a game. That's a good front seven. If that game's at home, weather's going to play a factor in it. You know, it's going to be January in New Jersey, so the weather will play a factor in it. And they're going to play good. Joe Judge is a special teams coach,
mm-hmm.
So you expect them to improve every week in special teams. Joe Judge is a no-nonsense guy. He's already fired a coach on the staff for going against him. He is running this thing. He's kind of finding their stride right now, right?
Yeah, they are.
And you're trying to peak when? This is when you're trying to peak. You're trying to get to that last quarter of the season, because coaches break them down in quarters, right? That last quarter of the season, the last four games, you're trying to be healthy, and you're trying to peak at the right time, and they are.
Can you go 4-0, 3-1 during that last quarter? And if you do that, you have momentum in your favor.
And you're playing a home game,
right,
in January.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be game. I think they're going to be a team that, you know, they're going to be a tough out. I don't believe it's, you know, they're not going to be down, you know, they're not going to be an underdog by two touchdowns in this game.
Well, if the playoffs were to begin today, you know who the NFC East champion would be playing? Seattle Seahawks.
And they just beat them.
In Seattle. So, for all the jokes of the NFC East, and again, I get it. I mean, if we go back to when it was, I think the team was 2-5, if I'm not mistaken. Well, the Giants have won four straight.
Yeah.
They're now 5-7. So, they were 1-7.
Yeah.
Right? And we were looking at them at the bottom of that division, and we thought maybe, just maybe, the Cowboys could still muster that up. Andy Dalton's not terrible, but then you look across the board.
You would think they had the most talent. They're going to make a run.
Yeah. Injuries just continue to pile up for them. Now they've lost Zach Martin for the remainder of the season. You look at Philadelphia, Doug Peterson.
They're a train wreck right now.
Doug Peterson might not make it out of the season. Don't forget about this. Carson Wentz, his extension kicks in next season. That extension kicks in next season.
So that's an interesting, you know, him getting pulled on Sunday for Jalen Hurts. There's a lot to read into that. I know Doug Peterson's, hey, in the moment we just needed to spark. We're struggling. Carson Wentz can't do it all by himself. There's more to it than that.
You drafted Jalen Hurts.
In the second round.
In the second round. You used a second round pick.
And then you replaced your franchise quarterback, who you've signed to an extension that has not kicked in. You put him on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You benched him for a rookie, which in with all the talent in the world, and no disrespect to Jalen Hurts, there wasn't one scout or one media guy or not one person that thought he was anywhere near ready to play NFL football. That was a projection pick, right? We have Wentz.
You called it. You liked Hurts. You saw him. You saw him in person.
Yeah, this is a projection.
It was a projection. Yeah, it was.
This was a 3-year pick.
Yeah.
And we're in week 12 and he's playing?
It's a pick where, okay, Wentz has a extension. I believe there's an out year two of that extension. Yeah, so you draft a quarterback that maybe could play within 3 years. Yeah, maybe.
And that's a philosophy that he learned from Mike Holmgren, Andy Reid, right on down. Doug Peterson was in Green Bay. Andy Reid, same thing. These guys, they always draft quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the second round, but they were always drafting quarterback. There's a lot of people in the NFL that believe that. Every year I draft or sign a quarterback because I want to develop young quarterbacks. Well, maybe that's what it would be, but I think it was a 59 pick in the draft.
Yeah, this wasn't.
So this was, you know, that's pretty high.
Yeah, this isn't Green Bay drafting Jordan Love because Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old and you need a contingency plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a top first round talent. Sky's the limit, but we can.
And he fell to you and you've had a great year as a luxury pick.
And Matt LaFleur is a quarterback whisperer. We've seen this over the course of 6-7 years, and Jordan Love's a little raw. Timing could be perfect for Jordan Love in Green Bay. There's their bargain, right?
Yeah.
That's not the same case.
That's not the same thing here.
It's not.
Jordan Love is year three, maybe.
Maybe.
And week 12, Jalen Hurts enters the ball game. There's a lot to that. So, yeah, Philly's a mess. Dallas is a mess. Washington, again, front seven, the strength of the football team. Alex Smith doesn't turn it over. He's going to keep getting better and better as he gets healthier and healthier, or more in rhythm. So the NFC East isn't great, but not as bad as we made the jokes about, I guess.
Yeah, well, they still have losing records. And I don't always want to bring up the fact that Seattle beat New Orleans when they were 7-9, but look, let's be real. When Seattle beat New Orleans, they were 7-9.
They
had a decent defense.
Mm-hmm.
They could control the clock with Marshawn Lynch. The intangibles were there to win football games come January, right? It's no different than Tennessee last year.
They got on a run at the right time.
And you're dominating the line of scrimmage on at least one side of the ball. If you dominate the line of scrimmage on one side of the ball, Vinny, you have a chance to
win.
You're
in every game.
You are.
Every game.
It doesn't have to be offense and defense.
You have a chance to win. And if you don't turn over and you play good special teams, it's just an extra. It puts you right in the game.
Now, as far as not turning the football over, I obviously have a little bit more faith in Alex Smith than I do Daniel Jones at this stage, just because of what we've seen from Jones.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, even going back and looking at New York, if you go back over the course of the season and you look at some of the games that they lost, because this matters. I mean, we talk about Pittsburgh, and you know, when Pittsburgh was 11-0, people were doubting, and then you had the game with Washington yesterday. So if you go back and you look at the strength of schedule for the Giants and at times of the season, that matters as well. I mean, this is a team that lost to Pittsburgh. Right? They lost to the Bears when the Bears were playing decent football. They only scored 13 points in that game. They lost to the 49ers. They lost to the Rams. They lost to the Cowboys. It's not as if they were losing. They lost to Tampa Bay on the last play of the game. They should have beat Tampa.
Yeah, they had that game won.
You know, a 1-point loss to Philly. You go back and you look at some of these losses.
They had the Philly game won.
They did.
They had that game won.
So ultimately, when I look at the Giants, I think this is a little bit better team than 5-7.
Yeah, and like we say, we're peaking at the right time. And here's a hidden yardage or a hidden figure this year. First-year head coaches were a major. They had a major disservice with the offseason to them.
Big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
They had an obstacle that other teams don't have to worry about. You know, when you have veteran football teams, you know, the preseason didn't kill them. Well, it killed the Giants. You have a young quarterback and a new coach. It killed the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Not having that preseason, not having that offseason. Those guys had a lot further to go, first-year head coaches. Now, Joe Judge, here he comes. We break it down into quarters. Quarter number four, he's where he wants to be. He's got a little momentum going, right? So, you know, take that into consideration for some of these squads that are struggling. That first-year coach, he had a major obstacle. He was way behind the eight ball compared to everybody else.
Well, and you can't compare McCarthy and Dak in Dallas's situation because you're bringing in a veteran coach. You have a
veteran quarterback.
You have a veteran backup quarterback, and Andy Dalton has been a starter in this league for a decade. You can't even compare the situations. It's not comparable at all. It's the same conversation in Philadelphia, right? They had their quarterback and their coach back this season.
Back this season, yeah.
Right?
They were ahead of the curve.
Ron Rivera.
Every team was.
Same conversation could be had with what happened with Ron Rivera, right? Not only is Ron Rivera finally starting to click, Ron Rivera has his quarterback.
Yeah, and see, again, a veteran coach, he's been around. They're peaking where at the right time, playing good special teams, good front seven football, don't turn it over. And that is a, maybe it isn't the recipe anymore to be, to win a Super Bowl, but it's a recipe to be in every single game.
And that's all you can ask.
That's all you can ask for, because the games are so competitive.
Yep.
If you're in every single game, hey, then you're right there.
And I think what you just said ties into what we saw Sunday night. People want to talk about style points in the NFL. Look, style points are in the win column. That's it.
Yeah.
In the NFL. I mean, look at what Denver had every opportunity to win that game against Kansas City. Every opportunity. If you go back, the Raiders had every opportunity to sweep Kansas City.
Yep.
Every opportunity.
Every opportunity.
So I don't buy into style points in college football. Maybe you can gather a little bit from it. Maybe. Although every game is still its own beast. And especially this year, it's a completely different scenario. In the NFL, I don't buy it at all.
No, the game
is
so close.
There's no such thing as style points.
So close, so competitive that a win's a win.
And you will see teams dominate one week, turn around and get dominated the next.
Absolutely.
Because it is a week-to-week league.
Week-to-week league.
And now, I'm not saying that anyone out of the NFC East is going to represent the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I don't think it's a gimme come postseason time.
No, and they're not going to be two touchdown underdogs. I mean, it will be a competitive game. I believe that. I think it will be a competitive game.
We got to take a quick commercial break. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. It's Football Tuesday when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Shotgun snap to Fields. Play action fake. Throws deep left side for the corner of the end zone. Caught for the touchdown. What a catch by Austin Mack.
When you win by 1 point or 50 points, it's a win. It's kind of like when I make a birdie in golf. You know, most time when I make a birdie, it usually hits off a tree and runs across the green. And I put it in, and I write 3 on my scorecard.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You know it ain't my time to call it a day, but it's about time you remember the name, hey.
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We had some upsets over the weekend. In fact, we had an upset last night with Washington taking out Pittsburgh. But Vinny, aside from that one game that shouldn't be considered an upset, but maybe a head-turner, it was New England's 45-0 victory over your Chargers. Now, there's context to that. I mean, it was a dominating performance from a special team standpoint.
Yeah.
But anytime you beat a professional football team 45-0, did something right.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, so now you really have to pay attention to the conversation of Bill Belichick in New England. You know, I have called out He's 6-6, and I've called out Tom Brady for his move over to Tampa Bay. I didn't like the move. I didn't like the way he went about the move. Jumped ship from a team that he was with for 20 years, faced the franchise, went and joined a team with all these weapons, and let's be real, Tampa Bay 7-5. With Tom Brady, all these weapons, good head coach, capable head coach, and BA. What in the world is going on? Is it Bill Belichick? And you know what? I got to throw this out there as well, Vinny. The AFC East is a more difficult division this year than it was over the past 20 with Tom Brady in New England.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're 6-6.
Buffalo's been great. Miami, come on. I mean, they've been good. And, you know, I got to watch his team up close and personal. Again, you know, 45-0 is 45-0. I mean, that's a butt-whooping.
Mm-hmm.
But they were not dominant offensively by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, they only drove the ball down the field on the opening drive. You know, they scored 45 points, but they drove the ball down the field and scored on offense on the opening drive. The rest of that was basically special teams gaffes and mental errors by the Chargers. Now, credit again for Belichick. His team's always ready to play. And, you know, the greatest thing you say about Belichick beyond all that is his teams never lose the game. You know, they may get beat. They may get beat. And a lot of those Super Bowl teams, they weren't, like we talked off the air, they were not the better team.
No, they had 2 weeks of preparation.
They were not the better team in most of their games, talent-wise. You know, and that's a credit to the greatest football coach of all time. His teams don't lose the game for you.
A couple of Super Bowls where they were the better team, they lost.
Yeah, they were the better team, they lost. And you know, we had an interesting conversation, me and my favorite football coach. And, you know, I told my dad, I said, you know, if Belichick had the Chargers roster, I mean, if we switched rosters right now and Belichick was, he'd be undefeated and they'd be winning 1,000-0. The difference in, you know, just the coaching was so evident, especially in special teams. It was incredible. So kudos to him to get for 6-6. Now, that offense, watch them up close and personal, they're not good offensively. They run the ball well. They do some things to help. They play to their strengths. Defensively, play good. Great special teams, good defense. Belichick's teams, even without talent, may give up a lot of yards, but they're the masters of not giving up a lot of points. You ever notice Belichick's defense is, it may not be top-ranked in yardage, but in points allowed, they do a great job with that.
And that's what makes Thursday night's contest, which will air here on KOAL, so interesting, because Sean McVay's offense is putting up a ton of yards. They're not putting up a ton of points. In fact, they're struggling once they get inside the red zone. They struggle.
And you've seen the master and the teacher a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The Rams should have won that game.
No doubt.
They had a better team.
Yeah.
And Belichick kind of out-coached McVay. He got him out of a rhythm. He made him, I think, uncomfortable. In typical Rams fashion, you've seen this before. You don't give the ball to your best player. Gurley didn't even touch the ball.
Yeah.
So this is a very interesting game and has a lot of implications because the Rams win this and they've really done themselves a favor in the NFC West.
Yeah, if the Rams win this game, when you take a look at their schedule that's up and coming, I mean, the final four games, they get the Patriots on a short week, and that's important to know.
At home.
At home on a short week.
Yeah.
He played in Arizona, not a long trip.
Nope.
It's not as if the Rams were in Tampa Bay.
Nope, and they were an hour away.
Yeah, so that's, but then they get the Jets, which is a win.
Yep.
And it basically means that Seattle will have to beat the Rams week 16, or the Rams win the NFC West. This game right here, it's one of the biggest Thursday night games we've had all season, and it's because New England has to have this to stay in the
playoffs. They have to have this. This is a must win. If they lose, they're out.
And I think the Rams can afford a loss and still get in, and the Rams could afford a loss and still win the division because they would have the tiebreaker over Seattle. And so, honestly, it is one of the biggest Thursday night games that we have had up to this point in time. If Bill Belichick was to sneak this team in, is it his best coaching job?
Yes.
If he was to get the Patriots in?
Yes, it really is, because they're watching them last week, and you know, I know it's 45-0, and people are like, "Oh, yeah, you know, they blew the doors off L.A. and the Chargers." That offense, I'm telling you, they have trouble completing passes. I mean, they really have done a great coaching job. Just everybody knows they're going to run it, and they're still being successful. They've had a lot of injuries in the O-line. They're still running the ball well. They're averaging 147 yards a game. That's what's keeping them in it, Jordan.
Yeah, it is.
And let's be honest, Cam Newton does not throw the ball well.
No.
He does not.
And all Cam Newton needs to do is not turn it over.
If he's throwing the ball 30 times, they're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that. If he's throwing the ball 30 times, New England's going to get blown out. But, yeah, I think it's Belichick's, you know, Cam Newton signs late, signs for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
You have major injuries along the offensive line.
You have guys opting out.
Major injuries opting out. Dont'a Hightower, one of his best players. Patrick Chung. Injuries to Edelman, you know.
Yeah, he's still not ready.
He's still not playing. So, Belichick, he's 6-6. And that may not seem like a lot, but I'm telling you, with the talent he has, that's a great job.
Not to mention that there are two teams from the AFC East that are in the playoffs and will make the playoffs. Miami's going to get in.
Buffalo looks great.
Buffalo is going
to
get in.
These are good, good football teams.
And I would have to go back. I don't have it in front of me. I would have to go back and look over the course of 20 years. I don't recall this division being that competitive.
Oh, no.
This competitive.
Oh, no.
Over the course of 20 years. So, you know, I think, obviously, you win a Super Bowl, I understand that that's a hell of a job coaching, right? It's not easy to win a Super Bowl. This guy's got 6 as a head coach. It's pretty difficult to do, right? So I get that. But when you look at everything, a lot of the times, winning a Super Bowl is tough. But Vinny, when you have a first-round bye and a guaranteed home playoff game, you're in and you're out. Because your division is so weak, there's an element in your favor.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not taking that away from the Patriots.
No,
I'm not.
No.
I'm not being negative. I hope that.
But it is harder to go on the road as a wild card and win three games than it is to stay home and win two.
They never had to because Buffalo, New York, these weren't good teams.
No, they're not good teams. And they are now.
Miami, they are now.
And they are now. And remember, Belichick's been in every game now. He was fourth and he missed beating Seattle on the road by an inch on a fourth down play.
Should have beat them.
Buffalo, they're in position to win that game. Yeah. Newton fumbles.
Yeah.
I mean, they really could be 8-4. Now, you can say that about a lot of teams, obviously.
You could.
I mean, I'm a Chargers fan. I mean, yeah, I've seen everything.
Yes. You've seen every way. Well, like
I've
said
seen
yesterday,
everything.
Between you and Travis, him being a Jets fan and you being a Charger fan, you guys seriously have
invented.
You can write a book, The Invention of Losing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you could say that about all teams, but literally, they're two plays away from being 8-4. And again, a late signing. Major injuries in the O-line, major injuries, opting out, the pressure of everybody talking about you.
And let's not forget they're
let's talk about that.
They're 2-1 in division play.
And you know what? Brady leaving was the biggest offseason story in the NFL. There was lot of talk and a lot of pressure put on New England and Bill Belichick. Well, let's see how you do without Tom Brady. Well,
he's doing just as well without Tom Brady as Bruce Arians is doing with Tom Brady.
And let me tell you, Tampa Bay, if you're looking at physical talent, I can promise you Tampa Bay's roster's got more talent than New England's. Well, right now, I assure you that the Tampa Bay talent trumps the New England talent.
And on top of that, I can assure you that Tampa Bay, their division, is not nearly as difficult as what you have to go through in the AFC East this season.
Yeah.
Now, to the credit, Tampa Bay's 2-2 within the division. Those two losses have come to New Orleans.
And they got blown out.
And the two wins have been against Atlanta and Carolina. So let's be honest here. The situation, it's funny to me because there's always the talk, are you a system quarterback? And look, every quarterback in the history of the NFL has been a system quarterback to some extent.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. I hate that term, system quarterback. I hate it. Is Tom Brady a system quarterback? Well, yeah, he was a system quarterback. He's one of the greatest to ever do it because we've seen system quarterbacks succeed in one system. They don't win six Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You're a system quarterback. Your scheme, because again, I stick up for the likes of Zach Taylor, who I didn't agree should have gotten the job in Cincinnati, but look, you brought him in because he's a quarterback guy.
Yeah.
Right? You would expect quarterbacks to succeed under Taylor. That's why he got that gig.
Job. Yep.
So I don't buy the argument of a system quarterback. The bottom line is, Bill Belichick has something of the piece that fell off of Cam Newton, the shell of Cam Newton as his quarterback right now. They're 6-6.
And they're 6-6. And I'm telling you, it's tough to watch him throw the football because I watched it. And again, they won 45-0. I'm not taking that away, but 30 of those points were special teams and penalties.
Well, Vinny, he was an MVP 5 years ago.
And
Cam Newton was a physical specimen unlike anything we've ever seen.
And he runs the ball well.
He still does.
On the hoof, he still looks great on the hoof.
Because he's a physical specimen.
But I tell you what, if he throws the ball 30 times a game, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they have a lot of trouble throwing it. And that's with a great running game. So if he's throwing it 30 times a game, they're down and the running game ain't working, they're in a lot of trouble.
The only problem with New England getting into the playoffs over the course of their final four games, they have a group of teams that they're going to have to pass.
Yeah, and they got a tough go to go.
It's not easy. I mean, your final four games, if you're New England, right now you're 10th in the AFC. You're 10th in the AFC. You got to catch Baltimore, the Raiders, the Colts, and possibly the Dolphins. Maybe Cleveland. Well, you're not going to catch Cleveland, so we'll throw the Colts or the Dolphins. You got to catch one of those two teams. Take it a step further than that. You have to finish with the Rams, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills. It's a tough task.
Yeah, three of those games, you're going to be an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jets are the Jets. And
Thursday's
a
telling game.
But, you know, this is the NFL. And the Jets, they had the Patriots right where they wanted them, and Joe Flacco tend to throw that game away. They played them tough just 3 or 4 weeks ago. The Jets had the Raiders beat in one of the worst defensive calls in NFL history. Literally, that was one of the worst defensive calls in NFL history. And it has nothing to do with the blitz. Let's get that out of the way. You know, people talk about, we're beating a dead horse.
There's
and
nothing
Greg Williams,
wrong with blitzing.
The blitz was not it. The coverage behind the blitz was so stupid that Greg Williams deserves to be fired for that alone.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
But,
you know, you take that away, and they've beaten a team that is right there in the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, this is the NFL, and I know they're 0-12, but the Jets are, they're not getting beat 40-0 every week. They're not embarrassing themselves a lot of these games.
They should win that game against the Jets. They have to win Thursday night against the Rams.
And that's a tough task.
Yeah, it is a tough task.
And then the Dolphins and the Bills, again, more talent.
That's what I'm saying. If you beat the Rams, you beat the Jets the way you should beat the Jets, you only have to win one of those two games between the Bills and the Dolphins, and you probably sneak in.
At 9-7, you're in it.
You'll
be right there.
But you have to win Thursday night.
You have to,
The Patriots have, in order to get to the playoffs, they have to.
And this is a statement game for the Rams.
It is a statement game
because
for the Rams.
Because this is a chance for the Rams to take that step and, you know, get right in this. Because if they lose this game, they need help. If they are at home on a short week, on an East Coast team that's staying in California, you have a chance on national TV to show people, hey, we're here. We are back. We are the Rams. Look at this beautiful new stadium and our new unis, and we're here to make a statement that we are a force in the NFC. And this is a big game for the Rams.
If they win Thursday, are they Super Bowl contenders in your
yes.
mind? Legitimate Super Bowl contenders.
That defense is playing lights out right now. They're young and aggressive. They got mojo. They're starting to run the ball better. You know Kupp can play. You know Woods can play. You know Higby can play. So if the offensive line stays healthy, Goff just has to play solid football. Good football, and yeah, they got a chance to be right in this thing. I mean, do I like them better than New Orleans? Yes, I do.
In the playoffs, I do.
Yeah.
I don't trust Sean Payton in the playoffs. Why would you? I had someone ask me this the other day. They told me the other day New Orleans is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. And
I'm
I
not
said,
buying Taysom Hill as a Super Bowl quarterback. No way.
Well, beyond that, Vinny, what have we seen over the last 5 years that leads us to believe that Sean Payton's teams will not collapse in the playoffs? Track records do the math.
Yeah, track me, yeah.
And you can go back to the Rams.
Yeah, it was a blown call, but they blew it.
His clock management was off.
Yeah, he blew it.
You go back to last year against the Vikings.
Terrible.
You had your smallest defensive back in man-to-man coverage at the top of the field against Kyle Rudolph.
Let's guess. When he's got his helmet and his cleats on, what are you saying, 6'7"?
No doubt.
Yeah.
And you had a timeout in your pocket, and you didn't call it. You had a chance to see what the offense was going to look like, and Sean Payton kept that in his back pocket.
And he lost.
Why? I can't trust him. Sean Payton, yes, he's been a long-term coach, got a terrific win record. He has won a Super Bowl. I have seen nothing over the past 4 years that tells me there's no one going to beat that New Orleans team.
So then it comes down to, let's be honest right now, let's just throw it out there. Right now, I see in the NFC Championship game, unless something, and it's the playoffs, and injuries, and there's a lot of things. We got 4 weeks. But right now, I'm envisioning the NFC Championship game is the Rams are going to Lambeau.
Oof. What a fun game.
And that's a tough game. Because I don't care if they're grown men, and I don't care that they're professional athletes. The weather is a factor in Lambeau in January.
Oh, man, I want that game so bad. You want to know why I want that game? This is why I want that game. Think of the storylines here. Sean McVay against Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff.
Goff.
Two Cali quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I love the storylines there.
I love the storylines
there. Love it.
Mike Pettine been in the NFL for a long time. 3-4 guy. You got the young hotshot in Brandon Staley. And shout out to Brandon Staley.
He's going to be a head coach next year.
Shout out to Brandon Staley. Nobody's talking about this guy. He has been awesome for the Rams.
He's going to be a head coach next year.
Well, I'll tell you what. I hope he just goes down the freeway. I hope he goes right down the freeway. Okay, Jordan.
Hey, when McVay hired Staley and let go of Wade Phillips, it was kind of questionable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, raise some eyebrows. Absolutely. Wade Phillips is a legend.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think Staley is a head coach next season.
Well, he's got a chance.
A lot of positions are going to be open, including one in that stadium.
Yeah, it looks like it.
I can't believe it's, you know, when you go back and you look over the course of history, coaches on the hot seat, you get beat 45-0. It's a pretty given that you've lost the locker room. That's typically when teams move on. Ailen's going to be there for the rest of the year. Ailen's not going to be he's not going to be the head coach.
He got a vote of confidence today, which was kind of a little bit of a shock.
Which means he's done. You get a vote of confidence in week 13, you're done.
Yeah. Well,
if somebody has to come out and say your job is safe in week 13, you're about done.
You know, that's an interesting conversation we got to have in the future is head coaches and general managers and the relationship.
Yep.
And what difference does it make?
Yep. Out of time on this edition of the show. We'll talk about that next week. I like that conversation. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.